Well, it's great to be with you here this morning, and I'm continuing the series that we've been doing on Devoted. It's part of the New Testament book of Acts, where we've been looking at the early church. And so straight away, I want to go back to the passage, and let's read that together now. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, which included the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and with great generosity, and all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. What a great scripture. And we're going to be looking at the prayer part of that this morning. So at the beginning of the passage that we've just read in Luke, the author of Acts described four things that the church community were devoted to. They talked about teaching and fellowship, breaking bread together, and then prayer. What we get is a great picture of community that is both intimately and deeply connected with God, but also with one another. But let me just note here that actually the church in Acts, it wasn't an insular community or some type of clique or a private club that wasn't available for other people to join. It wasn't like that. As it said in the bottom part of that scripture, it says that they continue to welcome in daily those who are being added to our community. That's the kind of church that we're talking about, which is wonderful. But today I just want to focus our attention on the fact that the picture of the church here in our passage and throughout the New Testament, it's about a deep connection to and a dependence on God, which we express through prayer, and that drives them to a deep connection and a care for other people. So it's all about how we are with God and how we depend on Him and how we have a deep connection with Him that actually then means that's a natural overflow of how we are to other people. Friendship and devotion to God leads to friendship and devotion to others. So let's now just look at prayer. Well, prayer at its heart is an expression of our friendship with God. It's an expression of our openness to God and our dependence on God and our trust in God. Wow. And that's true of our personal prayers, our one-to-one prayers with God, but it's also true of when we pray together as a community. And ultimately, the motive of prayer isn't just to express to God our needs or try and get God to do things for us or to fulfill some kind of obligation or maybe even to cross off something off our to-do list. It's not that. It's about meeting with God. It's an expression of friendship with God where we desire to know and be known and to love and be loved. I would say that prayer is a deeply human thing that we can do. Thank you. I've just got some water delivered. Because through prayer, we can live out that reality that we were created in this loving relationship with the one who made us and that we can depend on him. Being a follower of Jesus is about being invited into a transforming relationship of love. Wow. And when we say then that we as a church value being a praying church, part of what we must be saying then that's really important to us is that we're a people who are in a relationship of deep friendship with God and a deep dependence on God as well. So I'm going to look at how in that early church days that we prayed together, that they prayed together. And the first area I want to look at is praying together. Well, it was a priority for the apostles. Whole church prayer is vital. Even a casual glance through the book of Acts, it reveals that the early church was really serious about praying together. They prayed together in the temple, They prayed together in their homes. When they were sick, when they were being filled with the Spirit, they prayed at meal times, and they also prayed in the really tough times, in persecution, or like we're finding ourselves today, in crisis moments. And again, we find them all together devoting themselves to prayer. So let's just have a look at some of those moments in Acts where we see the priority that they had to pray together. In Acts 1:14, it says they all joined together constantly in prayer. We've got Acts 2:42, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Take a look at Acts 3:1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. And Acts 4, we've got, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So what are all of these statements making in Acts? Well, the verses are a picture that the apostles were leading others in prayer. It's plain that the apostles placed a high premium on the people of God praying together. And they considered actually guiding people through corporate prayer, corporate gatherings of prayer in the life of the church was just as critical as the priority of preaching and teaching of God's word. So that's what we can see from the apostles. And I think that's a great way of us learning how we should pray together and be devoted to that prayer together. So now let's just look at what the Jesus model might be. Praying together was modelled and practiced by Jesus. The apostles learn their leadership patterns from the master, Jesus. If you go through the Gospels to look at Jesus' teaching and the practice of prayer, you're going to find no less than 37 verses, sometimes repeated in the different Gospels. But of those 37 instances where Jesus is referring to prayer, 33 of those were addressed to the plural, to the gathering, rather than the single audience. In other words, Jesus' instruction leaned towards praying with others, not just praying in private, even though that is important too. So let's take an example here. We find it in Matthew 7, verse 7. It says, "Keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep searching and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be open to you." And when we read "you," so at that end part it says the door will be open to you. When we read the "you" in this verse, I think we could often think it refers to the singular, but actually it doesn't. It doesn't refer to an individual. It refers to the plural, meaning that Jesus is urging a gathering of people to ask, to seek, and to knock together. Wow, that's great. And so the apostles made it a practice and a priority to teach about praying with the other believers and to practice it because they'd heard and they'd seen Jesus emphasize the same thing. That's why they knew what to do. And that's who we should be following. We follow Jesus. So his model is about us collectively praying together. There's something really powerful when we do that together. I wanted to take a look now at another part of praying together about our amazing history. I've picked two people, I could have picked more. But the first one of these is John Wesley. We're going right back to the 17th century here in England. So on the 1st of January in 1739, John Wesley gathered friends to pray through the night. That night of intercession was to change the course of British and American history. Wesley famously recorded in his journal how, about 3 in the morning through that night, as we were continuing to pray, the power of God came mightily upon us, so much that many of them cried out for exceeding joy, and many of them fell to the ground. This 3 a.m. encounter impacted Wesley's life profoundly. It propelled him out from the prayer room like a meteor. He was joined by a young guy called George Whitfield, and John and his brother Charles, these three men, would continue to impact Europe and North America for generations to come. John taught and he strategized, George preached, and Charles composed some of the greatest hymns of all time. And all of that stemmed from them gathering together for a night of prayer. That's when it started. Wow. And more familiar maybe for some of you who are watching this morning is the Salvation Army. We still have them around in many towns. And this is 1865. And William Booth, he was converted through Methodism, and his wife Catherine, well, they founded the Salvation Army in London in 1865. And from the start, the movement was marked by the marriage of practical care for the poor, but with a passion for prayer. Booth, perhaps recalling Wesley's historic prayer meeting of that January, would hold all-night prayer meetings in which people were struck down and overwhelmed with a sense of the presence and the power of God. This is our history. This is some of the people who have gone before us and taken great time to pray together, and things happen. But that was many, many years ago. So how is that affecting us now? How do we as church pray now and see things happen? So the church prays and something happens. Now, before we had to go online because of this virus, I was inviting Janet Wright to be with me this morning, and we were going to have a little interview at this moment. She is our pastoral care coordinator and does a lot with prayer and sending out prayer emails and gathering people to pray. And I just asked her a few things, and she came back with some comments that I'd just love to share this morning. But she was reflecting over what's been going on in Ashwood Church over the last couple of years and how we have grown so much in our prayer life. Individuals have grown, small groups have grown in their prayer life. Life groups, that's our small groups that meet during the week, they've been growing. And as a church, we've seen the growth of prayer. And we've prayed for things, and they might have looked small to us, and we've prayed for things that have been huge, and we have seen lots of answers, which is great. But perhaps you've been aware of all of this, and perhaps you've seen the growth, but actually growth, sometimes we can miss it, because it happens subtly. But change has happened, and I hope you've noticed that as well. So kind of what have we learnt as we've been praying as a church, and how do we pray maybe in this season? Well, I think we've become stronger in our prayer. And what has happened as we've got stronger? Well, we've prayed more together. We've focused on who God is and the fact that God is so much bigger than us, and bigger than our issues, and bigger than our problems. We have given thanks for what God has done, and we give thanks for what God is doing. And we've shared with one another our prayer thoughts, and we've found common ground as different people in different places have been praying for the same thing, and God's been hearing those, and a similar flavour has come through, and that's been amazing. And we've took hold of God's word and have kept praying even when circumstances still seem difficult. That's about pressing through in prayer. It's about continuing it even when we might not see what we're hoping for, but actually God can be doing all sorts of things. And we've prayed small and we've prayed big prayers, and we've looked at the detail and we've looked at the big picture as well. Well, last year was particularly significant to me in terms of the church praying. Many of you will know, but if you're new to us online, I was diagnosed with bowel cancer. I then had an operation, had surgery to remove that, and then had a season of chemotherapy. And I was on the receiving end of the church praying. And I saw that in so many different ways. I remember the evening before my operation, and we had a gathering in our lounge as we connected with people to pray specifically for that operation. I've had little groups praying through WhatsApp, And I was reminded this morning of a couple in our church who, not every day, but at least every week, messaged me to say that they were praying. And they were faithfully praying, and I know they were. And every time they saw me, they came and hugged me and said, "We are praying for you." Well, that's the church praying, and it's really, really significant. And I know that I'm in a different place here today in 2020 because the church prayed. There's another lady in our church, Catherine, who spent the best part of 2019 in hospital. She's now home, but she has still a long way off to be free from illness. But the church is praying for her. It was praying for her then, and it's still praying for her now. And again, we just have seen a small group of people who connect together to pray specifically for this lady. And it is amazing when we're sending prayers and scriptures, and how that group, quite a large group, have been listening, hearing what God's been saying, have been praying for Catherine. And during that journey, we may not have quite seen what we pray for, but actually, in all of this, when you're praying, you just need to stop and reflect and actually see all the different things where we've seen God show up and do stuff along the journey. Might not be the full healing quite yet that we're praying for, but it is amazing to see all the smaller answered prayers. The church has been praying, and it's so important. So how does the praying together work while we're in isolation? We can't physically be in the same gathered space together, but we're thankful for technology. We're thankful for technology today. But we can connect still, and we can still pray as a church and pray for other people. I want to just put up a slide. Our small group that meets in the week, we call them life groups, met last week, and we chatted, and we had some fun as well, which is always important. And then we took time to pray, and you'll see the screen coming up with all of our heads. Really important that even in this time of isolation, that there are ways of praying together still. And we've had some comments back and some feedback of how other life groups are doing and how there's been some answered prayer during the week. Some of you will know we had an update on Bella. We put out a prayer email for Bella, who suffers with her health. She's one of our young children in the church. And this is what message came back after the church prayed together, even while in isolation. On Sunday afternoon, I emailed asking you to stand in prayer with Amy Shaw for her daughter, Bella. By the evening, Amy had sent a message saying already Bella's temperature had come down. She'd messaged me yesterday to say she was much better. And here's her message. It says, "Seriously, she's back to normal. It's a miracle. Has not needed any Calpol, not coughed. So she's got on with her schoolwork. So appreciative of the prayers." And the church was praying. We have an email system where we send out to our regular people who are part of Ashwood on a regular basis things that crop up to pray for. And this was one of those. Another incident in one of our other life groups, James, he normally lives with his grandparents, but because of this situation, he's having to move back with his parents. And that's not always an easy thing for him. And they were having to get beds and sofas and things, and it all wasn't looking great. And then their life group prayed, and the help came, the sofa and the bed arrived on time, and someone was there to be able to help fit it because of the people in his house that wouldn't be able to do that. It might seem a small thing, but God is interested in those small things as well. And that just meant so much for James, and it was great to hear that story for the life group that had been praying. Also, we've been praying for double during this year. We've been setting our alarms for 2020 because we believe right at the start of this year that we wanted to see more people get to know Jesus as their personal friend and saviour. And so we've been praying for people that we know and would be added to knowing God and being part of church. And so that has been part of our praying this year, praying for double 2020. And we have other areas. We have something called prayer space and also our once a month Touching Heaven. We hope we're going to go live with that this week on Wednesday. We hope you can join us for some worship and prayer together and some reading of the word as well. And there's some of the ways that Ashwood gathers people together to pray. As I've pointed out throughout this morning, the importance of when we gather to pray. And just finally, as I finish, and I'm going to be passing back to Paul to so that we can worship again finally as church. We were going to be launching today, and we were going to be able to hand one to you, but again, we'll make sure that this gets to you. We are relaunching, or for some it might feel like a launch, of something called the Prayer Shield. And the Prayer Shield really is a way of interconnecting our prayers, surrounding us on all sides together, where we can pray for one another, where we can see God releasing blessing over us, where we can pray for our leaders, and we can pray for our small groups and our children, and just be covered by that shield. There's a place in Psalms 5:12 where it says, "Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favour as with a shield." And that is the prayer shield that we will want to hand out to you. We'll get it out on an email. But it's so important. And we've used it in the past, and we really felt that this was the right time to relaunch it as we've been looking at how the early church did prayer, that we want to have that prayer cover for everyone. That shield around you where you know that prayer is being prayed over you. It's just wonderful. And we want to just take a moment that if you would like prayer today, well, Ashwood Church would love to pray for you. And you might use the little chat on the live stream feed here now where you might just request a prayer or something for one of your family. And later today, our church will be praying for those things. It is great to pray. It's great to do that as a gathered people. And we love prayer and we love how God connects with us. Remember, prayer is about meeting with God.